Have you seen the movie The Hunt? That's actually a rhetorical question. You won't be seeing the movie The Hunt because of the fallout that has occurred with respect to the movie's release. Joining us to discuss what the heck is going on in the movie industry, and specifically with respect to this movie, is Washington Post film critic Ann Hornaday. Ann, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Had you seen the movie?
No, we had actually been sent some screening invitations. So they had already set up some press screenings in a couple of, I don't know when they were even scheduled for. It was for a few weeks hence.
Okay.
But no, I don't know of anybody that's actually seen the movie, other than maybe the test audiences here and there.
So do you even know what the movie's about and what the big hullabaloo is?
No. I mean, as far as I can figure out from the trailers, it looks... Do you remember that? It's a very old movie now, The Most Dangerous Game. It's a movie from the 30s, and it's been remade over the years, you know, where a rich madman assembles a group on a remote island in order to hunt and kill them. It's a perverse premise. But again, it's been kind of done over the years in different forms. And it seemed to me like this was another iteration of that theme, but overlaid with politics, so that you had the rich, quote unquote, elite hunting people that they had assembled whose views they didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather, but I don't know this for sure, and I won't know until I ever see this movie, if I ever do, just how those politics play out. You know, I mean, I think on one level, I would imagine that it seemed like it was set up for some kind of a table turning where it was really the liberal elites who were getting it in the end and getting their smugness kind of slapped around a little bit, which, you know, would have been interesting to see. And I just don't know even, I literally don't even know what I'm talking about.
I was going to remark.
This isn't new, you know, but in this case, it happens to be literal.
Well, it is. It's absurd. Every time you join the program, we're talking about a movie that you've seen, and we're telling people why they should take the time and spend their hard-earned discretionary money to see it. And you even haven't seen this, and we're attempting to talk about it, but the conversation becomes something different. And this is what your piece in Washington Post is about. Gone are the days when people would decide to see a movie or not and then discuss it. Now we're being basically force-fed or not force-fed what we're allowed to see. That in and of itself is absurd.
A little bit. I mean, it just feels to me, and I think this is the result of many forces. Some have to do with the movie marketing world and how they are so desperate to grab our interest and recruit us so that they are trying to get awareness as early as possible and then keep it. So we have trailers coming out earlier and earlier and teasers and little bits and bobs. And then that feeds right into this media landscape, which is dominated by a 24/7 news cycle on the cable side that's always desperate for content, and then this social media beast that constantly needs to be fed. And so when you get these two things, then you just get a whole bunch of people with opinions and issues and agendas and grievances and, you know, ways that they feel like they can weigh in and sway the national conversation one way or the other. And once in a while, and I think we saw it in this case, those things combust to make it so that the studio just decides it's not worth even putting the movie out because it's just become so toxic. I mean, I think in their case, since this is such a violent movie, it's literally about people hunting people. To even put the ads and the trailers out immediately after the shootings in Dayton and El Paso, they thought was in poor taste, and so they pulled the marketing.
Sure.
And then they decided to pull the entire movie. But their wording was, we didn't think this was the right time. Well, in this country, at this particular moment, when we have hundreds of shootings a year these days, I'm not exactly sure when they thought the right time would be. I'm not even sure why they decided to make it in the first place, given that. But now it just feels like, let's at least just see the movie so we can decide. Like, let's please have the conversation after we've seen the movie, rather than, it just feels like everybody's just pouncing so early, and we're not letting the art form be the art form or the entertainment be the entertainment, and then have the conversation.
Well, I'm reminded of the 2013 movie, White House Down, from IMDb. The synopsis is, while on a tour of the White House with his young daughter, a Capitol policeman springs into action to save his child and protect the president from a heavily armed group of paramilitary invaders. Now, I remember, I didn't see the movie, Ann, but I remember from the trailer, a plane crashes into the Capitol Dome. And all I could think, now, again, this was 2013, 12 years removed from 9/11. But all I could think is, look, the images from 9/11, you can't unsee them, and they'll be with us for the remainder of our breathing moments.
That exactly.
Even in 2013, it felt like too soon.
Agreed.
Okay. So where was that sense of duty from the studio then?
Right. I think that's the point. Well, for one thing, this whole media landscape was different then. We did not have Twitter. We did not have social media, where the outrage accelerates and ramps up so quickly, and it can really overtake. And I do remember that movie, and I do remember that a lot of us were sensitive to that imagery, especially in D.C., you know?
Sure.
You know, this was not abstract. I mean, conceivably, their audience members were fresh from those events and reminded them every single day of their working and living lives. So,
right.
But they were aware of that. I mean, I don't think the studio was unaware of that association, and they just made, I guess they just make that calculation that it's going to be okay. But you do wonder, what would the Twitter machine have made of that? Would they have, you know, it's kind of an apt illustration of how different this landscape is now, you know, in terms of how the audience or the potential audience has kind of become empowered to weigh in early and often and loudly. And if it reaches a tipping point, then it just behooves that studio to say it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But I will say, even though, and I was as skeptical to the White House Down example, as skeptical as I was and as kind of offended as I was at the concept, you know, it's like, if you're going to make these movies, we can debate whether they're in good or bad taste. But if you're going to make them, let them succeed or fail on their merit. And
right.
So I don't think that that movie in particular was as nearly as offensive as I thought it might be. If I can remember my review, I think I gave it a mixed review. In other words, I didn't completely reject it out of hand. So it's like, just let it be. Let it be seen. Let us see it for ourselves. Critics can discuss, audience members can discuss, and we can go forward. But to kind of foreclose that possibility, I just find really troublesome.
Well, for the record, over 193,000 reviewers at IMDb given it a cumulative 6.4 out of 10. So they seem to be siding with you. I'd call that very much
right. Mixed. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Mixed. But by no means are we going to just sort of, you know, throw it completely. Yeah, exactly. So it just seems like that. Let the marketplace do its job. You know, let the marketplace, both economically and of ideas,
yeah,
do their jobs. But now it seems like the movie is sort of the tail wagging the dog of just public jawboning about every little thing. You know, and the last thing that we actually talk about is the movie itself.
Right.
You know, it just seems to be almost a side thought compared to the trailer or the production story or whatever the star said that was silly and or inane. Or, you know, it just seems like we're picking over all these things and not really letting the movie be the movie.
So true. And the movie industry has been accused of being so violent for so long. Why are we taking it all back now, as you so aptly stated? Just let it stand on its own merits. And someone who doesn't like extreme violence, as The Hunt seems indicative of owning, viewers can choose not to go to it.
Absolutely. Or let the, you know, and I want to be clear. I'm as dubious about the premise of The Hunt as anybody. And I've long criticized Hollywood for being hypocritical when it comes to violence. But in this case, I would much rather have just been able to see the movie, judge for myself, give it a fair evaluation, and then let the chips fall where they are, and let them take their brickbats or bouquets, you know, as the case may be, from both viewers and critics alike.
Yeah, perhaps the best course of action was none at all for them, or just scaling back the marketing because of its proximity
right.
to these tragedies.
Definitely. That I understood, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I just think that even that decision should make them think a little bit about all of this, about all of it. Like I said, when is it ever a good time? That's sort of almost a separate issue. But it just seems like this is such a part of our life right now that I am sincerely curious as to when they think it ever is a good time for this kind of imagery. But that's a separate article. Maybe I'll write it one day.
Very provocative conversation, as you always deliver. Washington Post film critic Ann Hornaday joining us today on Del Aware. Ann, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
A pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.